There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Oh, there you are. 80s or 90s, Chris McCarthy?
I've got no clue because, I have a clue of the 90s, no clue of the 80s. I was born in 86, don't remember anything.
Oh, dear.
Unfortunately,
me.
Of the 80s.
Don't remember 89?
No, nothing. I think the first memory I have is 91, probably.
Oh, dear. No way.
Yeah, fine.
Really?
Yeah, maybe. Memories of 90, but...
I think I was aware of the Stone Roses before you were born. That's a frightening thought, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a frightening
thought.
Yeah,
anyway. I'm not going to stop reminiscing.
How old you are and how young I am.
There's a wealth between us, McCarthy, but only in years.
Thank you.
That's all. So what do you want to talk about?
I want to start, if we can, local golf. Huge story breaking this past few hours. Rayhan Thomas, good friend of Sports Tonight, a young man with a very bright future. Natalie, that tickles you pink. Every time we say good friend of the show, there are many.
It's with Rayhan, though, in particular. Robbie's line is, friend of the show, also very popular WhatsApp group. He's every single time.
He's a good, very good friend of Robbie's, a very good friend of mine, and a very, very good friend of the show. But he has made history a little earlier today. It's just worth reminding the listeners, he is just 17 years of age. He made his breakthrough at this particular event, the Dubai Creek Open, 12 months ago. He became the first amateur to win on the MENA Tour. He has shot a 61 earlier today. Now, what is special about this, he registered 9 successive birdies, become just the third man to do so in a professional event. Mark Calcavecchia back in 2009, I think it was, and you've got Bernd Weisberger, who did so over in Malaysia earlier this year. So for Rayhan, young Rayhan, to add his name to that list is quite something.
It's more than remarkable. I mean, the thing is, yesterday, so who was it hit the 61 yesterday and got the course record?
Was it Kaiser, the South African?
That's right, it was. So that's a remarkable feat. 61's a hell of a score. And then a 17-year-old comes in, does the 9 birdies in a row, hits a 61. There's an added pressure here that I don't think we've considered. You've got Darren Clark playing in the tournament. Darren Clark is a professional who, by his own admission, perhaps isn't as playing as well as he has done in the past, but he's an Open winner.
He's an Open winner, a European Ryder Cup legend. Rayhan's been playing alongside him not only yesterday, but today as well, and we're going to hear from Darren Clark. He's actually just sent myself and Robbie over a little voice clip of his thoughts. He got a front row seat watching Rayhan this afternoon. He was blown away by just the maturity with which Rayhan showed, because he is just 17 years of age. He has got a huge future ahead of him. Take nothing away from the MENA Tour. It is a remarkable achievement to shoot 9 birdies back to back. Only the third man in any professional event to do it. It just shows how special that is.
It's incredible. Really incredible.
He's got a big future. I don't want to put too much pressure. Me and Robbie are a little hesitant at times to put too much pressure. But you talk to a lot of people in the game, Justin Parsons, who's his coach. You talk to Claude Harmon III, the son of the legendary Butch Harmon. Each and every one of those say that Rayhan has got the temperament, has got the skill to make it to the very top in the world of golf. We've just got to be patient with him, but no doubt about it. He's making it incredibly difficult for us to be very patient, because he keeps on producing the likes that he has been producing today and over the course of the past 12 months.
61 at 17. Wow. So it's the sport over the last few days with you, as far as you're concerned, seems to be a series of superlatives. So you're chatting to Darren Clark, an Open winner. You're talking about Rayhan Thomas, who's just, I mean, that's just an amazing story. You're chatting away to Michael Phelps. I mean, it's not bad being Chris McCarthy.
It's been quite a good few days. I'm not expecting every day to be like this, Tim, but the last couple of days have been very special indeed from a personal point of view, from a professional point of view, and we will be bringing you that exclusive interview with Michael Phelps from 7 p.m. this evening. Myself and Robbie. Robbie was kitted out in Under Armour gear yesterday. He did the Q&A with Michael on stage. Did a wonderful job, did Robbie, and he teased out one or two little nuggets of gold from Michael Phelps. We'll be hearing them a little later this evening. We talk everything. I think Robbie has put it so beautifully and so succinctly up in the office a little this afternoon. We're getting to know the competitor, we'll know the athlete, and we've got to know the man as well. So tune in from 7 p.m. if you want a fascinating insight into the workings of what is undoubtedly the greatest Olympian of all time. That is Michael Phelps. Then make sure you are tuned in between 7 and 8 this evening. We'll be delving into the mind of the legendary Michael Phelps.
Because you came in yesterday and Sally, who sat here now, said to you, what was the interview like? Didn't you? You just come in with Michael Phelps.
I just was absolutely fascinated, yeah, for sure.
And you kind of went, well, he talked about this, and then you said something else, and then we asked this, and he talked about this. And Sally was there going, is there anything you didn't ask him?
We were pretty thorough in our preparation ahead of the interview yesterday. Obviously, Robbie is more representing the brand, so he had to be a little bit more careful what to ask Michael. I didn't really have those parameters, so there was a couple of questions certainly we wanted to ask. One that I wanted to ask was the Usain Bolt question. Who is better, Michael Phelps or Usain Bolt? I'll leave that to 7 p.m. and let Michael answer that one. And also whether retirement means retirement. We saw, of course, him come back for the Rio 2016 Games. The other interesting thing is, what separates him from his rivals? That was one of the questions that we put to him. I think you've got a little clip there, Tim. This is a little insight into exactly what Michael Phelps felt that separated him between him and his rivals.
Working harder. You know, what I did wasn't rocket science. For me as a kid, I had dreams bigger than anybody else could ever dream, and I wanted to be the greatest. I wanted to be the best. I always wanted to be the first Michael Phelps because I wanted to do things differently than everybody else. So for me, when I went through a span of 5 or 6 years where I didn't miss a single day of training, 365 days a year, that made me different.
That's quite a thing, isn't it? But the thing is, in there are no surprises, are there? I suppose. I mean, there is a surprise in that that's what the best Olympian ever does. But it was just hard work.
It was hard work. I mean, it's not rocket science, and I think he goes on to say that. I don't want to reveal too much, but it is very interesting what he goes on to say about why he didn't take a day off and what it actually meant for him and his development, which I found incredibly fascinating. But there's a lot more to this. He talks about Conor McGregor. He talks about his love for marine life, his love of golf, which Robbie was, well, he just sought me out in the crowd and gave me a little wink and a nod when Michael Phelps spoke about golf. But so much, and I think the interesting thing is, and I hope over the course of the 1 hour, 1.5 hours this evening, that at the end of the interview, that you come away from it knowing a lot more about a man who we've often just seen in the swimming pool. We haven't really got in behind the workings of Michael Phelps, and let's hope we've achieved that this evening.
Do you know, there's something there. If you listen, just listen to the start of this clip again.
Working harder.
Okay, so
working harder.
He's got a wonderful
voice.
He's
got a great voice. He's got the next MGM voiceover trailer voice, hasn't he?
Morgan Freeman style voice.
Exactly, a little bit of reverb there, new career.
You could do it, though. Your impression of it's quite good. But
it hurt my throat.
Did it?
Yeah. Sorry.
It is so fascinating, but maybe, you know, the reason why he didn't give so many interviews is in 5-6 years, like he said, he didn't take a day off. Where's
that's
the time to fit that in? He's training all the time.
I think that's a fair point.
So incredible. If we can pick your brains over about the Champions League, Chris, we've got quite a few matches tonight.
Yeah, we do. It's going to be very difficult to pick a match this evening.
It's not difficult at all, Chris McCarty, is
for
it?
You
there
and your
is
little
one
boy.
To watch.
There is only one. That is Parkhead in Glasgow. It's Celtic against the free scoring, it's fair to say, Paris Saint-Germain. Kylian Mbappe, Neymar, Edison Cavani at Et Al will all be lining up, I'm sure, against Celtic. I guess from a neutral's point of view as well, Barcelona taking on Juventus. Juventus beaten finalists over in Cardiff back in May. From a selfish point of view, Manchester United against Bale will also be taking up some of my interest. You've got Roma against Atletico Madrid, so an awful lot of matches this evening. Just a quick word on the AFC Champions League. There is a match currently ongoing. It is the quarterfinals. It's Guangzhou Evergrande of China taking on their compatriots, their rivals, Shanghai SIPG. Shanghai SIPG managed by the former Chelsea and Tottenham boss Andre Villas-Boas. They won the first leg 4-0. I can tell you, in the stroke of half time, currently Guangzhou 2, Shanghai 0. So Guangzhou, managed by the former Brazil boss Luis Felipe Scolari, may just be about to mount one heck of a comeback.
Has Gus Poyet not just left China
as
well?
He was over there, but he is now gone. The club that he managed escapes me, but I believe they are looking at Carlo Ancelotti potentially to come in and replace him. I know there's been some talk in Germany that Ancelotti not happy at Bayern Munich, so watch this space on that one. You've got Manuel Pellegrini, former Manchester City and Real Madrid boss over there as well. So a lot of the big name managers currently over in China. That is an update, though, of the AFC Champions League. And a quick word on Al Ain, their hopes are over. They were beaten last night by Al Hilal, so their hopes of continental glory are over. What it does mean from last night's result is that Al Jazeera will be the UAE's representative in the Club World Cup at the end of this year over in Abu Dhabi.
Okay, if you're wondering about Carlo Ancelotti, we can watch him tonight on the sidelines of the Bayern Munich Anderlecht game, can't you? So it's if the eyebrows one. Raising more than usual, you'll know.
There's just a quick question in for you, Chris, actually. Yes. They're saying, have they changed the fixture congestion this season? Because normally one round of the group stage was played over two weeks.
Have they changed the congestion? As far as to my knowledge, no, they haven't. It's as busy as the calendar always is, it seems, and that is why you need a deep squad. You need to rotate, and a lot of managers, I'm sure, will be doing that. They want success, of course they do, but it is a squad game. The days of playing with 11, 12, 13 core players, gone, I'm afraid, and the congestion is what it is. The managers have to just get over it. I think Chelsea, Manchester United, 7 games in the course of 23 days, I think it is, over the next few days.
Mm. Chris Riccardi with The Sport. Have you missed The Last Word? You've not been down for a while.
I have missed it, yes. I'm looking forward to it.
Honestly?
Yes, honestly.
He likes it. It's Robbie that avoids it.
Yeah, Robbie's a conscientious objector to The Last Word, apparently. I don't know if he's spoken to you about this, but we don't let him.
The Last Word.
Father's horror as he finds a in his Vegemite toast.
Father's... Okay, here you go, once more.
The Last Word.
Father's horror as he finds a in his Vegemite toast.
What did the father find in his Vegemite on toast?
It's too long for beetle, so I want to say beetles something.
You can say beetle. A bug?
A bug, a beetle.
Bug, beetle, okay. Are you happy with that? Insect?
Yeah, it's two words.
It is two words.
Oh, is it two words? All right, praying mantis. What about that? I'm going with praying
Let's
mantis.
Let's go with that.
It is Australia. There's all kinds of crazy things there.
Yeah, too many. I mean, Sally, you know that. There's all kind of bugs in Australia, aren't they?
Yes.
It's awful.
Could be some kind of a spider or something.
Huntsman?
Goodness only knows. I mean, I'd just be horrified if I found Vegemite in it. So.
That's enough to ruin the sandwich as far as Sally's concerned.
Quite frankly.
It's the second time you've come out in horror.
No, you don't
Vegemite.
Understand. I had a traumatic experience with Vegemite, okay? As a child who came from the Middle East to Australia, okay? We were in English class and we were being introduced to Aussie stuff, right, by the teacher. So I come from the Middle East where Nutella is the greatest thing on earth.
That's the same in every other place on earth, by the way. So
right.
So it's not news.
Right. So, you know, the teacher brings out this jar of brown stuff. What do I think it is? I thought it was Nutella.
So I get a
massive spoon, right? Just go straight into the damn jar and stick it straight into my
Ooh, yeah, I can see.
Oh,
and ever since I've hated it.
The shock of it as well. The shock that it wasn't
too
nice
much.
And sweet and
oh,
treat.
Disgusting.
No.
Anyway, okay. Sorry to everyone who loves it.
New segment tomorrow, Sally's Childhood Traumas. Join us again at 4:48. Text in for The Last Word.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.